Views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a war, but we came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up.
Stand up.
Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up.
Fed
got
up.
Our house in order and got yours inside.
Good morning, Sovereign Minds. Hello, hello, good morning. Today is July 20th, 2014. It's Sunday. My name is Mark Kent, and I am your host, as usual, for Sovereign Mind Radio here. And we have in the studio, I think, we've got my sister, Linda.
Good morning. Yes, I'm here.
She's here. And Bob Martin, our trusted producer, soundboard operator, and all-around great guy. Morning, Bob.
Good morning, Mark. Good morning, Glenda.
Good Very morning. Good. It's nice having you back.
Okay, let's get some. We're going to have Mike Quinn on this morning, who's running for city council, I believe.
Or yes, is it, we
yeah,
are.
City
yeah.
council. Uh-huh. And so let's get some of the clearinghouse stuff out of the way and do a little housekeeping. We are streaming worldwide. This is KCNR1460.com. This is home of community radio for the North State, or Free Fire if you prefer. You can call in at 530-605-4567. All shows are podcast and archived as well. I highly suggest that you friend me at Mark E. Kent on Facebook, because the slots are going fast, and pretty soon you'll have to friend me at Sovereign Mind, Sovereign Minds on Facebook. Yeah, because I've only got like 12 more friends and I'm up to 5,000, so we'll have to switch gears a little bit. And maybe we'll set up a site for that, for liking on there. Anyway, I want everybody to go to your assignment today is www.ShastaLantern.com. I want everybody to go to the ShastaLantern.com and sign up for the paper. We have an alternative to the wretched fleshlight. It actually prints the news that actually you want to know about, not the pablum bubblegum garbage that has been coming out of our esteemed, maybe that's the wrong word.
I think that might be not a good word.
I think it's the steaming pot. No, that's not it either.
Anyway, it's an alternative news source.
The alternative news source. Yeah, that's it. So anyway.
Which comes out once a month.
Shasta Lantern comes out once a month, and we'll probably increase that circulation as time goes by. We've got some great guys working on the project, and so that's www.ShastaLantern.com. The first quote of the day, okay, I guess the only quote of the day, is, in pursuit of the means, we should unfortunately, if in pursuit of the means, we should unfortunately stumble again on unfunded paper money or any similar species of fraud, we shall assuredly give a false stab to our national credit in its infancy. Paper money will invariably operate into the body of politics as spirit liquors on the human body. They prey on the vitals and ultimately destroy them. Paper money has had the effect in your state that it will ever have, or always have, to ruin commerce, to oppress the honest, and to open the door to every species of fraud and injustice. That's George Washington, 1787.
Wow.
Now, anybody who thinks that all these problems are this or that or this or that, that's the root of it. You don't get rid of the Fed. You don't go back to an honest currency system. None of this matters because
wow,
they'll just keep counterfeiting.
That they could see that even back then.
They lived it. I actually will post an article on my website, Facebook, and then I'll also post it on sovereignmind.ning.com today. And it explains the first continental currency and how it hyperinflated and how they won the war with it. And that was the only time George Washington ever said that an inflation did a good thing. because it won the war, even though after they won the war, they went through a hyperinflation for 2 or 3 years and suffered and starved dramatically. So they got the lesson firsthand on why you don't just keep printing money. I guess we're going to have to learn that lesson here in America as well, because that's what's on the horizon, folks. So with that, do you have any announcements?
I do. We have, I mentioned it last week, but I want to mention it again. We have what they call Veterans Appreciation Day at the NorCal Herbal Studies. And that's the master herbalist, Arundel Spindelelis, is going to on July 31st.
I think it's Spindelelis, isn't it? Not Spindelelis?
Spindelelis.
Okay.
I think.
I believe it's Spindelelis.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Just not to correct you or anything.
All right. We'll just remember that.
Okay.
You know?
Let's vote on it.
Okay.
Wrong answer. We don't do that in the studio.
Try for double jeopardy in the bonus
All
round.
All right. Yeah, so anyhow, that's on July 31st, and it goes from 10 to 4. And again, it's a Veterans Appreciation Day, so they can go down there and talk to the master herbalist about different things. And that is located at 1666 East Cypress Avenue. If you want to call in there, the number is 722-6728. So that is an alternative medicine.
We also have Monday night at Reading Tea Party. And if you guys want to learn how to do something about what's going on, then I highly suggest that you get there on Monday evening. We are having a seminar on Foundation for Applied Conservative Leadership. We went to a seminar last weekend, thought it was the greatest thing since sliced bread. Shows you how to get involved and how to flex your political muscle, so to speak, and get these.
Well, it changes your mindset too.
Yep.
That we do have a beautiful system in place.
We just know how to use it.
Yeah,
we don't know how to use it. We're also politically, infantile, that we don't know how to actually use the political system that is in place. And once you learn how to use the political system, you have a lot more power in this engagement than you realize. But you have to show up. You know, it's just like we did a gun. There was a meeting last night about how the fish and game. Oh, I'm sorry, the fish and wildlife. It's no longer game. It's wildlife. Let's chase butterflies and hug trees. But what they did was they talked about implementing the new weapons or ammunition ban.
Lead ammo.
Yeah, as of next year, you can no longer shoot. And they're phasing it in. It's not completely. It starts next year in July. Is that they're going to outlaw all ammunition, all lead based ammunition? Well. Okay, and what is that going to do?
That's an open one.
Yeah, a lot of impacts going on there. Is it a way to disarm us? Yeah, when you follow the logic out, you know, it's under the auspice of, oh, we got to save the condors and we got to save the turkey buzzards because they've eaten lead shot. Has anybody ever seen a condor up in this part of the state lately? What is there, 50 down by Carlsbad or something? Okay, so the issue of
but they can poison us every other way, but ammo makes a big difference. You just need to know that.
Yeah,
well, that's the tipping point.
If you can't dazzle them with brilliance, you baffle them with BS. That's exactly what they're doing. This is all BS. It's just like, oh yeah, Obama, his heart's really in the right spot while he lets illegal aliens over the border that are diseased and MS-13 gang members without any checks and balances and is dismantling, virtually every defense we have. But that's just all by accident. He's really a nice guy.
That's why he doesn't stop campaigning or anything.
He's just incompetent.
Yeah.
But he's a great golfer. I don't even think he's a great golfer. I think he just shows up.
Well, yeah, and that's the most important thing on the plate.
Yeah.
Golfing? Really?
Yeah. Golfing, yeah. Oh, yeah. Playing pool, hobnobbing with Hollywood. Yeah, that's really solving the problem. And when these illegal aliens show up at your school with diseases and lice
when a busload comes to you.
Tuberculosis, and that type of thing, because they've never been screened, checked, had any kind of medical attention or anything like that, because they just get bussed all over the country. That's because he's a great guy, right? Yeah, it's all BS, people. You better wake up and start showing up to some of these meetings. Get out to the Tea Party. Go to these meetings. Pick your poison. Pick the topic that most gives you passion, but you better start showing up. With that, before we go to the break, I got a couple more things that we need to talk about. Okay. Anybody believe that the unemployment rate's gone down?
Sure, so, that's why if you do it, you know, get all the numbers and there's like 24%. Yeah, it's gone down.
These guys would never lie to us, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, you look like Patrick on SpongeBob. I mean, it's like, hey, SpongeBob. You know, I mean, the real deal is that these guys are lying to us at every opportunity possible. And why would they do that?
Because they can. Yeah.
Because they can.
We allow it.
Okay, so this is, comes from the DarienTimes.com, and this talks about Rickards, Jim Rickards, who used to be, you know, this guy's one of the insider economic guys, and he's basically saying, hey, you know, this whole thing is a sham. The, you know, the labor, you know, there's no, the declining unemployment rate is baloney. There's no underlying, you know, it's all part-time jobs. There's no underlying recovery. It's all BS, okay, to keep feeding to the news media and the record fleshlight so that they can tell us how great we're doing out here. And we have that shining star on the hill called Obama, and life is good. Hmm. Yeah. Is life getting good out there for you guys? I don't know. Bob, Bob looks like he's got to say something here, you know?
Oh, no. I've,
he's had enough.
Just marveling at your oratory there.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much.
Oh, boy.
Elvis is in the building. So anyway, so it's all below.
Had to throw it in there.
Yeah,
just had to do it, you know.
Shut up.
So, but yeah, if you think it's any better, just look at the streets and the people out on the streets and everything that we got here in our own city, let alone any other.
But, you know, what gets me is this is like an accident in the printing press room and in creating a dictionary. You know, it's like, really, this is just all nobody knows what's going on, right? No, what it is this is, in my opinion, they have an agenda, whether it's the gun thing last night or with the fish and game on Saturday. I'm sorry, the fish and wildlife. And, you know, these guys have an agenda, whether they know it or not. You know, Lenin coined useful idiots, and that's what most of these guys are. They're on the payroll. They don't want to lose their jobs. They'll do whatever they're told from on high. And most of the guys up on high, all they care about is control. And
right.
Then you get up a little higher, and what they care about is controlling the country.
Controlling money. That's all that they care about.
And, gee, does that go all the way back to the money somehow? I just don't know. If I was the only one that was counterfeiting money, do you think I would have things like radio stations, television stations, newspapers? Yeah, if I was really seriously serious about taking over a country.
Yeah, and how many is there? There's only like 20 of them that own everything.
Five or six actually owns everything.
Yeah.
Time Warner, I could name them off. I have a chart. You know, you can believe whatever you want, but the real deal is if you think you're
Everything from the top all the way down to the bottom.
Yeah,
across the board, they own it all.
If you're getting mainstream news and you believe in it, I'm sorry to say, you're stupid, okay? Because the real deal is that it's all tainted and colored with opinions, and you know, there's not much objectivity anymore about the truth.
Yeah, so, well, there's no real journalism out there at all anymore.
Let's get to our next story. This is one from Investment Research, and then we're going to go to break. COMEX manipulation. Okay, investmentresearchdynamics.com. The COMEX manipulation is getting worse and more blatant. Now, this is Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, who used to be the secretary for Reagan, secretary of the Treasury, I believe. Collaborated on another article that blatant illegal manipulation of the gold and silver of the COMEX using fraudulently issued paper futures contracts. We haven't talked about that before. So do you guys see that, like, there's a lot of fraud going on here and a lot of counterfeiting and a lot of manipulation of everything? And do you think at the end of the day that stock market is going to stay up at $17,000 when people really figure out that it's really not there?
Yeah, when they can't manipulate it anymore.
Yeah.
When they run out of options.
Yeah, when you're buying everything and not making anything, guess what happens? Pretty soon your economy does collapse, whether you want to believe it or not. So that's let's get Mike Quinn in here pretty soon. Let's go to a break.
All right. If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR 1460.
Robert. Nice to see you again.
Don, imagine you being here.
Yeah, 11 to 1 every Sunday.
Oh, man, if this is the place to be, 11 to 1.
Why don't you join us? We have a good time.
I think I will. I think I'll do that every Sunday. It's so much fun.
It is, isn't it? We talk about all kinds of things here on our own community radio.
For the North State.
Remember, Sunday from 11 to 1. Join us on KCNR, 1460 AM. Community radio for the North State.
Hi, I'm Kayla, and they call me the Mouse.
And I'm Red, they call me the Bear. How's California working out for you? Want to change it for the better?
Wake up to your chemical sunrise and tune in every Saturday to the Jefferson State of Mind.
We'll be discussing representation, regulations, and restoring our republic.
So catch us from 8 to 9 Saturday mornings on KCNR 1460.
I feel no shame, I'm proud of where I came from.
When you need prompt, dependable transportation, you can count on Reading Yellow Cab. At Reading Yellow Cab, we have a deep commitment to serve the public and provide dependable first-rate service. Whether you're heading out for a night in the town, need to get to work, or you're just running errands, relax and let Reading Yellow Cab do the driving for you. Reading Yellow Cab is your number one choice for reliable, friendly transportation with clean, comfortable cabs. Give us a call at 222-1234. That's 222-1234.
Hi, this is Patrick Wallner from Wallner Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, your barefoot plumber. Let's talk about water conservation for a moment. We are all blessed to live in such a beautiful and bountiful area of California. If your home was built before the early 1990s, chances are that many of your water-using fixtures in your home do not meet today's strict water-conserving codes or standards. Give us a call at 223-5622 or look us up online at www.wallnerplumbing.com to discuss your water usage and simple ways to help conserve this precious resource.
Look for Wallner online or in the Smart Yellow Pages.
Join the conversation in our chat room, KCNR1460.com.
That's a pretty good horn there. That's Jerry Rafferty, Baker Street. Good stuff, Bob.
Good stuff, Mark.
Music's a nice thing sometimes.
Yeah, you know, it's soothes. You know, we hate to be jokey and all laughy around here sometimes, but you know, sometimes you just got to let a little bit of, you know, a little bit of it roll off and get perspective, because you know the alternative is to be constantly angry. And
well, we only get to do it for a few seconds, and then we have to get back to being serious for the rest of our lives.
And
so,
angry,
you know, and angry.
Yeah, I got to get back to being angry. Yeah, so let's. Mike Quinn is here with us this morning. He's running for city council, and we fully support him. And we wanted to get him on the show here and get his take on everything. He was at the meeting last night with the Fish and Game Wildlife, and so Fish and Wildlife Game. I think that's probably the best way to put it. Anyway, it was good to see you there, Mike. How you doing this morning?
It was good to see you. It's good to see a lot of people there, and I counted over 110 people, and I don't think they were expecting that many. And you know, it was a fairly unified crowd. There weren't too many people standing up there and saying, yeah, take our bullet sooner. In fact, I don't think anybody, if they held that sentiment, they held their voice.
One guy took a vote. He says, yeah, could anybody in the room who's for the ammunition ban raise their hands? And it was like crickets. Yeah, as everybody's looking around, it's like, well, first of all, if you did raise your hand, you're pretty.
You weren't leaving the building.
You were brave and bold.
It was very, very important to realize, number one, that these guys did not pass the law. So, you know, they're up here to say, how do we implement it? How do we stretch it out as far as possible? Because there is not going to be ammunition for all our guns.
I get that, but I don't agree that, you know, I agree that they're soft settling.
We need to fight. Yeah. It's not over yet. I mean, if there are some things that they broke the constitutional law over by putting this law into effect, then they need to be held responsible for that.
Well, you know, when I say I don't agree, what I don't agree with is these government guys just keep telling us, hey, it's not our fault, and, you know, we're on your side. But, you know, the real deal is that they're up there, and they can't be objective because they're getting paid by these guys, and so they're afraid to lose their jobs for whatever reason, but basically they're becoming prostitutes of whatever agency they're working for.
That's true. You know, it's not any more that you would say, wait a minute, I don't agree with that, I'm going to quit my job and walk away because that's your paycheck, and you might not go find another one equal to it.
Yeah, so it makes it tough. I mean, and so I'm not you know, saying these guys are bad guys as much as I'm saying under the circumstances, their objectivity is not really very good to go with.
Well, maybe they're not educated enough, and maybe they need to be educated on the issues at hand.
Well, okay, now, the number one thing about last night was who holds a state meeting with a state agency at 10 or 7 o'clock on a Saturday night?
On a Saturday night, yeah.
Who did arrange that?
Well, I think the commissioner of the wildlife down there, but, you know, I'm not sure who sets the place and the time, but they're obviously set. It doesn't really matter. Whoever is setting it so it's the most difficult time to get to for everyone.
Now, how many people would have been there? We had a big Lions All-Star football game last night. We had a baseball game, but we had all kinds of things. You know, people are out at the lake with their families. People have plans for the weekend. There's other events going on. So, I mean, just think if that would have been on a Thursday at 5 o'clock, 5:30, how many hundred people would have been there? So we know that the people that showed up there represented, you know, 10, 20 more people.
Oh, absolutely. Did you notice where the other meetings were going to be held too?
Sacramento,
San Diego,
Fresno.
Yeah,
they took wow.
They did take a chance, and they got a message, didn't they?
Yeah, they got a message. I mean, I don't think they realize that they're playing with fire here because, you know, my fear is that we can't at some point handle this civilly. Or, you know, I think we can handle this civilly. Let me rephrase that. We will have to. But at the same time, you keep pushing people and poking them in the chest. At some point in time, if you're not careful, someone's going to explode. And that's my fear. And then, of course, it's going to be, oh, those evil gun guys. No, it doesn't matter. You know, the fact is that these guys are implementing tyranny and taking our rights away, you know, and trying to do it through subterfuge as opposed to just out saying it, you know, hey, we just want to get your guns and disarm you.
I really meant it when I said that we would all feel better if, you know, because this is taking away the right to shoot the lead ammunition when hunting. Well, that's hunting legally or illegally. If they were to go up in the hills and get these guys who are these cartels that are living up there in their marijuana patches and they are hunting illegally in order to survive, let's make sure that they're not using lead.
Yeah, the whole thing's
not going to happen.
You know, the real deal is this is just a backdoor way of disarming everybody,
right?
Because they'll put the manufacturers out of business,
right?
And you can't get the bullets, or they're 10 times more costly.
That's what I was going to say. Pretty soon, you won't be able to get ammo except what they want to issue you and how much they want to issue you at a time.
Well, and they don't want to talk about the environmental aspects of this, the science being faulty. I mean, this is about protecting the condor and turkey buzzards.
Now, you know, and one of the other points I brought up there was, you know, and I was down by Condor territory, you know, down there at Vandenberg Air Force Base, kind of in that area and stuff
Where is that? I mean, I was kind of curious. I was trying to ask the question.
Ojai area, back up there in the
like
mountains.
Like Carlsbad,
there.
You know, down by L.A.? Is that
No. It's up further up north.
Oh, further up the coast?
North up the coast, Ojai area, and back there in the mountains and stuff like that. Now, they have allowed these turbine windmills to go up there. And we know that those kill birds. So why would you allow windmills up on the ridges up there in an area with this endangered condors? But they have to have them because, you know, that now we're coming across the environmental issue of the electricity generation and all that. You need it up there. And so it's okay to put windmills in where the condors are. And they have a big subdivision that's going in right through some of the condor area because there are some people who want to live there and they have the money that they can build and they can make this subdivision in there. So it's okay to do that to the condors. And the federal government just came out and said that all these guys with these turbines have 5 more years that they can, the eagles can get chopped up before they're having to start pay penalties.
So
for
I wonder what the ratio is for lead poisoning to
versus windmills.
You know, I mean, it seems to me that the windmills would probably be doing a better job of getting rid of them than the lead because how many people are up there realistically hunting anymore?
Well, you know, in the hunting areas, what lead are they going to get? How many shots really are fired during hunting season? Not that many, especially if you're a good shot. You might shoot once or twice or three times. There's not that many lead bullets out there.
Well, and I mean, and what are the chances of a condor swallowing a piece of lead?
It has to be stuck into an animal that it's, I mean, basically a condor's, you know, a vulture.
Right.
And it's going to go find something that's already dead. It's not going to kill anything. It's going to go find something that's already dead. So there has to be some lead inside of it. And then they have to get that in their mouth.
Another question would be, what made the condors go extinct in the first place? And then when they're going extinct, what was the initial cause of it?
I'm not sure that they're even a native species. They're native to South America.
Yeah, so, I always thought.
Well, there was migrated. They were on vacation up here.
Well, there was the California condor that was native, okay? But it was kind of, I'm thinking, wasn't it the DDT or the pesticides that originally, I'd like to find that out because.
Or when they were spraying for medfly back in the 80s or anything like that?
Because we've been shooting lead bullets since 17 something.
Since the Spanish came over.
Since the Spanish came over, and they didn't seem to be having a problem with turkey vultures or anything swallowing the lead that whole amount of time. So wouldn't it be a kind of a go from A to B thing that, if it didn't hurt them for like 400 years, why would it be hurting them all of a sudden now?
And I'm not sure that the DDT and all that spraying, because the area that they're in is very mountainous. You know, need to have those high. They don't go out over the desert and stuff like this.
We might want to follow up with that and figure out why. What made them go extinct in the first place? Were they just getting blasted, or what was the deal?
Sometimes I think species that's go away.
Go extinct. Yeah.
Otherwise, we'd still have dinosaurs. I mean, they replace
maybe,
each other.
Maybe that's
there couldn't be any climate change or anything that would have anything to do with it.
We hadn't started destroying the earth then.
Yeah.
maybe that was the lead poisoning they were actually talking about. People blasting them. I don't know. I mean, it's the whole thing just seemed like a bunch of crap, in order to get control over our firearms and our ammunition.
Well, yeah, we know it is, because anytime they introduce anything like that, we know that that's what they're.
Their
motive is, they lie to us about why they're doing it.
A friend of mine once told me, do you know how you tell when a politician's lying?
He's talking. Well,
his lips are moving.
Yeah, his lips.
Well, we can apply that to the fishing game, I guess. We probably should go to a break here,
All right, and then we'll come back and we'll probably pick up on something else with Mike Quinn. This is KCNR 1460. I'm with the Free Fire Media.
Bob, producer for Free Fire Radio, the very best way to start your day in the North State. Every Monday through Friday from 7 to 9, Carl and Linda Bott bring you what's happening in our community, from politics to entertainment and the issues you care about. If you like what you're hearing, won't you please tell a friend that local live radio is what we're all about? I love my job. Tune in and find out why, right here, Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m., on the home of Free Fire Media, KCNR 1460.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
You're probably wondering, where do I go? I'm out of coffee. Well, let me tell you, Tobacco and Brew. Guaranteed to provide you with the freshest coffee beans. With the rising cost of coffee, Tobacco and Brew offers the best prices, quality, and a large variety as well. Check it out. Go in and meet the friendly staff who will help you with selection and specification of your brewing needs. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All you got to do is go sign up for a government program.
Is that our new national anthem?
That's our new national anthem. Come on and take a free ride.
Now, a quick hats off, because that's Edgar Winter Group. And, of course, yes. Johnny Winter just passed away. Great, great blues guitarist.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, just in the last couple of
days. Yeah, there are a couple of albinos.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah, just saying. You know, not that that means anything, but yeah.
I wasn't sure where we were going with that.
It was just, you know, he was one of the rock and roll legends.
Yeah,
good,
no,
I meant the albino part.
I remember listening to Frankenstein a lot when I was about that age. Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. Anyway, okay, so we're back. Sovereign Radio, and we're talking to Mike Quinn. And I just wanted to say a little bit about a little bit more, and then let's move on to the REU and whatever else we're going to talk about. But, you know, there's a definite bias with the newspaper, because you said that they were there last night. I bet you there's no pictures of a full room. I bet you there's probably not even an article. And if it is, it's going to be a blurb. And that's why we've got the Shasta Lantern going. And I bet there was no TV coverage either, and nothing there. So here you got a room full of guys that are absolutely angry about the fact that Jerry Brown just was signing this into law. And that's the kind of coverage that we're getting on something like that.
On a very hot topic.
Very important.
Yeah, well, they weren't expecting, you know, at 7 o'clock on Saturday, that's the best time to commit a crime, because your name won't get in the newspaper, because nobody's working then. Nobody's, you know, covering those stories, especially on the weekends. You know, important story. Lots of other things were going on last night, so with short staffs, and that's what happens with news. They come up with, you know, they only have so many stories, just like the police. They can only respond to so many calls out there. Well, we have short staff in all the media, and so you don't get every story.
Yeah. Well, you know, there you have it. So we've got to start.
It's up to us to get it out.
It's up to us. We got to become the citizen journalists, I guess.
Right.
So anyway, you were talking about REU, and I want to make sure that you get some time here to tell us, you know, what you're about, you know, your campaign, you know, get some of the stuff that you want to talk about out there, Mike. And so you want to start with REU and this last meeting?
Yeah, I'm on the REU commission, and it was one of the reasons that I decided that it's time to run for city council, and seeing how things were done. And I was put on there. They needed an attorney, and they needed somebody from, you know, the electrical area, and, you know, they needed certain people that they wanted on this commission, and I was chosen for the financial side of it. And okay. So I tear into the finances and the numbers.
So, yeah, because you actually do finances and stuff for a living.
Right. And I'm not a CPA, and I want to make sure that that's put out right there at the beginning and all that. But I've been a corporate controller for three different, you know, large companies.
So you've been doing it for a while.
I've been doing it for over 30 years.
There you go.
So, I mean, that's the financial side. So, but people have asked, are you a CPA? No, I'm not.
Yeah, we get that, too.
Yeah, I get that, too, because I'm a licensed tax professional.
And I am also.
But I've been doing it for 30 years. I've taken all the courses to actually become a tax attorney. My brother is a tax attorney. I taught him the business and decided not to go down that road because I'd be in San Francisco practicing law. And I'm thinking, let's see, San Francisco practicing law against IRS attorneys. I mean, kill me now.
Right.
Yeah.
So you use their numbers, but probably in different ways, and look at them different than what they are.
Well, I look at it and try to make sense so that you can. You read numbers. If you know numbers, and if you know mathematics,
right.
it talks. It's a language. There's a language there.
For us that like numbers.
And with anything, within all the corporations I had, I was strictly tied to budgets. I mean, if we went over the budget by a couple dollars, we were hammered. And these are multi-million-dollar companies. I mean, these guys who ran these companies, they knew exactly what they wanted. They knew exactly what, you know, that you had to hold it. And when you prepared your own budget, so you kind of put your own noose around your neck if you weren't going to follow it.
So talking about nooses around the neck, and now could we expand on that, talking about REU a little bit here? Has anything like that?
Well, there's a lot that's, you know, that can be controlled in at the local level, and there's a lot that can't. You know, the things that are going on, and the one big thing over their heads right now is, of course, they have to have a percent of energy that is created in a green manner. And they have taken the federal government recognizes all hydro as being green. The state of California says no. If it's a big hydro project, it's not green. Well, we get electricity from Shasta Dam. The state of California's come out and said, no, you can't use that in your green portfolio. This is a real simple.
Is there actually a legal definition of green?
Well, you know, to me, the greenest thing is something that's already built. I don't care if it's a coal plant or anything like that. If they want to get rid of coal, they're going to have all that energy to tear down the coal plant and all the pollution that goes with that. And then they're going to have to replace it by building windmills or solar, and that takes pollution. So to me, the cleanest thing that you've got is the thing that's already built.
So when I think of green, I think of Kermit the Frog, but that's just me. You know?
Well, I mean, it's a poor word. I mean, I feel sorry for the word green. It's really taken a beating.
Yeah.
Exactly. Since we can't use that, what is the other part of that?
So now the portfolio, and we also have a tie-in to the coal plant down in New Mexico, and we're going to have to give that up. It's just going to go away. They're saying in order to convert that over to clean enough coal, it's going to take billions of dollars. So a good portion of that coal plant is going to be closed, and that's the portion that we use. So there's actually some good news there because we own transmission lines between here and there. We're going to be able to sell that and get some money back. We're going to be able to get out of some debt. So there's a lot of things that are positive along that line, but we have to replace it. So we've gone to a wind farm up in Washington. And, you know, we're trying to build this portfolio. And, you know, I mean, we really need to get involved with some solar. And these are things, again, just like last night at the gun thing, are out of our control. The law's already passed. Right. Whether right or wrong, we just have to do the best with it. But, you know,
Or get rid of it somehow, you know, whether it's judicially, you know, sued Supreme Court, something, yeah.
Right. So now, what we discussed at the last meeting was how there is a lot of policies that have been in effect since 1993 with REU, and they haven't been changed. One of those, of course, being the reserve account and how the reserve account is to be calculated and how it's to be set and used. And so we are working on that right now. This is a very, very important part and a very, very important time to be on the REU commission.
Well,
I'm glad that I'm on there.
Absolutely, because in light, I mean, from what I've heard, they're very aggressive with their customers as far as shutting them off. From what I've heard, they haven't been very,
they're not very friendly.
Customer-friendly.
Well, yeah. I take it when the IRS shows up, we'll use this as an example. By the time the IRS shows up at your door and throws you out on the lawn and starts taking your materials, they've already let you know.
Yeah.
This is not a surprise. Well, the REU is not shutting people off. But, I mean, it's tough times right now.
And, right.
You know, they've got to come. They did come up with some policy changes here a few years ago. And maybe that's not enough. Maybe we need to go back and review those and say, wait a minute, it's working for a certain group of people. But the people at the very bottom of the ladder, sometimes nothing's going to work. You know, the price of food's going up. The price of gas is going up. The price of electricity keeps going up. All of this stuff keeps going up. But what they get doesn't go up. So,
well, I think what it goes back to is what we talked about with the money printing earlier then and all of this government getting bigger and bigger and bigger and more out of control. That's putting the jobs away from the country. It's putting them overseas. And so you really can't help the little guys until we change the dynamics of the policies that are being implemented at every government level.
Now, here's something, you know, that did happen. Some of the things that, you know, with REU that I didn't agree with is that they sent those jobs out of the city. And that was fine if you saved the money. But we didn't. We didn't looking at the city and REU as a whole, they didn't replace those 30 people. You know, those 30 people didn't get laid off. They just got moved to other positions. So when we sent these jobs out of state, we didn't gain anything. The budget didn't gain anything. I do not like, you know, if you're outsourcing, you better save. If you buy a new computer program, there better be some savings.
Otherwise, you're just shipping the job someplace else.
It's too hard to generate the money here as it is right now.
So, we only got about 15 minutes, so we'll have to go to another break here. But I want to know what solutions that you're coming to the table with as far as the city of Reading and, you know, REU and that type of thing. What are you campaigning on here as far as, you know, what's going to be different when you're in the driver's seat?
Number one, business. We've got to get people so that they get into business quickly. That we go through the permit process. Very expensive process, very timely process. A business that's going to start up needs to get their doors open as quickly as possible. You can take the example of one of the big mega resorts that's built in Las Vegas. That contractor gets $1 million a day for every day he's open prior to the date that they said it's going to be open. They reward these guys and say, you know what, if I can get my guests in that door one day sooner, I'm going to make $1 million. I'm going to give it to you. I need that open. So we don't have that policy here. And I know people, it goes on months and months and months, and you got to go through this process and that process.
Part of that is the county, though. I mean, they're, you know, that's, we got to turn that board over there. I mean, big time, because we got 4-1 that basically doesn't really care about anybody but their power.
Right. But we can only talk inside the city.
Right. So. No, I'm with you. Yeah. I'm just saying, and there's more, and I just wanted to clarify that there's more, there's only so much you can do, you know, but because part of that is people need to clear out the board of supervisors as well.
Right, but you know that's if you're doing a business in the city and you know I won't go into the county right now because you know I haven't you know looked as much into that.
Right.
Because I'm just not going
down
that road.
Yeah, I'm not trying to put you on the spot here either, right. Mike. I'm just
commentary. You know, because I'll be running for city council, you want to get somebody, they walk in a door, you know, maybe they're building a building, maybe they're going into an existing building and they need to do some leasehold improvements. There's all kinds of things, and he's starting to pay rent the day that he takes out that key in his hand.
Right.
So he needs to get going as quickly as possible, and he needs to be able to get in there, he needs to know what he needs to do, all the policies, and a lot of times these buildings have already been renovated up to the policies that are in there for, say, the fire extinguishing that type of thing. It's already in place. He's going to go in there. He's going to change the walls. He's going to change the floors. He's going to put in different things. Once he gets that done, he needs to get that inspected. We need to get people out there, and they can't change the rules. A lot, you know, you'll hear all the time, here's the list of things they gave me to do. And I went and did them, and they came out and said, well, now you got to do this and this and this.
Yeah.
No.
You get one chance.
Right. And so, therefore, sometimes he has to tear something out in order to redo what they want the second time. We got to stop this policy. We have to be so business friendly. We have to have a welcome out of it. It says, bring your business here.
You actually should be pro free enterprise.
We should be more than that, pro free.
My gosh, Mike, we're on the same team.
We're shocked. No, we're not shocked.
Go ahead.
We need to go to a break, and then we'll pick it up on the other side. Our guest is Mike Quinn, and this is KCNR 1460, home of the Free Fire Media.
Well, it's not always raining. There'll be days like this, when there's no one complaining. There'll be days like this, when everything falls into place, like the flick of a switch. Oh, my mama told me, there'll be days like this, when you don't need to worry.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Are you tired of worrying if your business will survive till the economy gets better? Worry no more. The Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce has the tools to help you with your small business. From valuable networking events to educational seminars, we are here in your community. People do business with people they know. Get closer to your future customers by joining the Reading Chamber of Commerce today. As a member, you will participate in referral programs, member-to-member discounts, free listing on the Chamber website, and your company name listed in our business directory with a distribution of 5,000 copies to potential customers. Call us at 225-4433 to find out how you can meet your new customers and build your business.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
At Timberline Heating and Air, they're your local Carrier heating and cooling experts, ready to install a new, more efficient Carrier HVAC unit in your home or office for much less than you might expect. With Spring in the Air, Timberline has manufacturing utility rebates with savings up to $2,650. Call Timberline now for an estimate on the new Carrier system to save you hundreds of dollars in future energy costs, pay for itself in year-round utility savings, and provide you with a 10-year parts warranty, the best parts warranty in the industry. Concerned about the respiratory health of your family, give Timberline a call for a complete duct and equipment cleaning, keeping your system functioning at maximum capacity and providing fresh air through your entire home or office. Dirty coils force your compressor to run longer, increases energy use, and decreases the life of your system. Call 221-2222 or visit them online at TimberlineHVAC.com. They work hard to provide you with the best value and comfort you require. Turn to the experts at Timberline Heating and Air. 221-2222. Timberline Heating and Air. Proud to serve our community since 1985.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
He's pounding down, loaded up and trucking.
Are we going to do what they say can't be done?
Yeah, I love this song. Crank it up, Bob.
A long way to go, and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound, just
that banjo is awesome.
I don't want to go east.
Well, I'm thinking we're all going to be converging on Washington, D.C. at some point.
Okay, east, yeah, that's yeah, a good east.
All depends on why we're going east.
So anyway, we're back here with Mike Quinn running for city council. And, you know, he's kind of laying out what his platform is here a little bit. And there's a lot more to come, I believe. And we've got till what, November or something?
November 4th.
November 4th, it is. Yeah. So...
My policy is basically fiscal responsibility to the public.
No, that's good. Yeah. That's what we need. You know, fiscal responsibility and, you know, conservative values. Could I say conservative values?
Ultra conservative values.
Ultra conservative values.
I can't. I'll take the ultra off because that does scare a few people.
Yeah, okay.
So, okay, and you're not politically correct.
I'm not a politically correct person. You know, I probably told every joke in the world and, you know, listened to them and repeated them. But I'm politically direct, and people say that's you're too direct. You get right to the point. Well, I get right to the point. Is that a
well? It is.
Why is that a bad thing
today? And in politics, that's a bad thing because you can't get a straight answer on a straight question from anybody.
So
you know?
I shock people by giving them straight answers.
Yeah,
you actually
get a straight answer
to
from somebody, and they're like, "Wow, that was strange,
they're
man."
They're still running around the bush looking to where I be.
I feel funny, you know.
Yeah, yeah, if somebody actually answer questions that we ask, that would be awesome.
And
yeah,
it's okay to answer a question I don't know.
Yeah. Say, yeah.
I'll give you one statement that I'm going to come out with, and it says that a good politician, I believe, can have their own opinions, but don't necessarily vote their own opinions, because we have to go by the law, we have to go by morality and things like this, then by the people.
Right.
So I can't put my own prejudices in there and say I have to throw those aside and say, okay, maybe that turns out to be true, maybe it doesn't. But if you are going by what is written, you know, constitutionally, and then you go by what's written in the laws of the city, then you go after what's morally correct. You've already got your answer by that time.
All right.
Interesting. Well, you know, that doesn't seem to be the case with most of the politicians that I've come in contact with. Either that or what they do is they promise you something in private, and then everything changes.
But we
public.
Do have that at
there's
the lower level.
There's no privacy anymore.
Yeah, there's no privacy.
When you say something you think it's in private, everything's recorded.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
If we were recorded early, we're
say
in
it
trouble.
Right. Say it right. Say it the first time. Like
right.
I said, I get right to the point, and I tell you, you know, the way I feel. I could change that if somebody says, wait a minute, that's not a legally thing to do. I have to back off. And I'm not afraid to say, hey, that, you know, I need to change it.
Right.
So
and that's what we're trying to do at the lower level, is right. to change things. And so who's running against you?
That was my question.
Let's see. Coming off of the current board right now, Francie Sullivan and Patrick Jones. Then we have Mike DeQuisto, Kristen Schrader, Brent Weaver, and two new gentlemen, Jim Patterson, and then there's another gentleman, I don't remember his name. He just showed up on Friday. He's a 24-year-old, and that's fine. We need younger people getting involved. I am encouraged by that.
Well, I think we got a caller on the line here. Do we still have a caller on the line? Let's get a Billy Bob on here and get his comment or concern or question.
Are you there, Billy Bob?
Yes, thank you for taking my call. Hey, I like your style, Mr. Quinn. It's refreshing. It's about time, and I appreciate your effort and hard work on the IRU Supervisory Board. My question to you is, as I've been calling the show during Carl Bott's radio program the last 3 days, asking these candidates about their opinion and position on getting the construction industry in this town back to work. The impact fees, and the only one that really gave me an answer was Patrick Jones, Spritey, who said, yes, we doubled the impact fees in 2002. We doubled them in 2004. And yet they're absolutely extortion. And he agrees, and we had a year and a half ago a moratorium on those, and it generated $25 million worth of construction. Where people have money, families, construction workers have money to even live. And I want your opinion on that and how you stand on slashing whatever we can and get the construction business, which is the horsepower of this area, back to work, and I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Billy Bob. Now, I know who you are, and I do appreciate your opinions, too, because I've heard you speak at some of the meetings. So it's very important that people show up to city council meetings and voice their opinions, and I'll have a whole nother subject, a whole nother thing on the meetings we have down there. The construction industry is the key here, and what we've done is we've built this Stillwater Business Park. We've millions of dollars are tied up. We're in debt on this thing, and at the same time, we're raising our electric rates. The one thing that we had going with Stillwater Business Park was it's supposed to be two things. It's supposed to be shovel-ready, and it's supposed to be really, really cheap electricity. Now all we can say is we're cheaper than some. So we've raised our electric rates up, so we've really kind of shot ourselves in the foot. The construction industry, we do need to cut those fees, and we cut those fees – and I'm going to give it to you on an economic basis. We have houses out there, and they're $30,000, $40,000. Each house is going to fees. So that's not it's not per square foot, which it's costing you to construct it and, you know, put the roof on and put the appliances in and the lawns and fences and things like that. This is added on top of it. That adds to each person's mortgage because they're borrowing money to pay. There's a total fee. Say it's $260,000 a house and it's $40,000 they're paying for those fees. They got a mortgage that's taken. That money is leaving our community every single month. If it's $300 per mortgage payment is going because of those fees, that money cannot circulate in our community. And if you're a car dealer, that's a car payment. That's a car you could have sold somebody. It's extra appliances. It's money that's being spent here. I believe that the government has got to be able to run on sales tax and property taxes. Now, you want more development here because the government should want that lot that maybe was bought for $100 50 years ago to now generate $300,000 worth of property tax on it. And that's the way the government should live. They should live off what is earned by the people, not what they take. So right. These fees, you know, they've gotten exorbitant and, you know, they were lowered and it proved they worked, but they just voted it down the other night that says, no, even though it worked, we don't think we need it anymore. Mm-hmm. They honestly believe at the city level that everything's fine. A guy got up there and said, hey, our unemployment's down to 10%. Ladies and gentlemen, if the national unemployment was 10%, it's a disaster. But they're praising it as if 10% is great.
Let me guess, 3-2.
3-2. Absolutely. 3-2.
But you brought up taxes. I know the mayor wants to increase the sales tax in the city. How do you feel about that?
Well, that increase the sales tax, you always take money out of the community. Anytime you give it directly to the government, it doesn't circulate. Now, what he was talking about specifically going to the public safety, particularly to the police department. I've got other ideas on that. I don't think we have enough time to get into that, but I don't think that's the entire answer. Maybe we would have to do it, but there's other ways to generate income for the police department. And why don't we charge the people who are committing the crimes more?
Yeah, you know, we'll have to have you back, Mike, because we're out of time. We're down to about a minute here. So, you know, we want to thank you for coming on, and we want to make sure that we get you back here. And maybe we can follow up on the next segment, you know, with the police and fire.
I will be with Carl Tuesday morning at 8 o'clock from 8 to 9. So, you know, he's got specific questions he's been asking everybody. I'll be able to introduce myself a little bit more complete there and then, you know, some of these other questions. And at that point, we'll probably get into this public safety issue.
Very good. Very good.
Well, thanks for coming in. And again, we'll have you back.
Thank you. And thank you for the job getting up every Sunday.
Thanks. Solutions. You guys want some solutions out there? Get involved. That's the solution to the problem here. Find your passion. Find a reason to get involved. Find the thing that motivates you. Is it your kids, your grandkids, your freedom? Quit complaining and do something. Are sports more important than your family's survival? Turn off the TV, pry your butts off the couch, get involved, get educated on the issues, run for city council, store food, do something, go to a tea party, listen to Sovereign Mind Radio.
Yeah, come to the tea party so you can learn how to take back our country.
It's time to do something. Get up and do something. Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. It is force, and force like fire is a dangerous servant and a fearful master.
And this is KCNR 1460, home of the Free Fire Media.
Sovereign Mind Radio.
See you next week.
I am just a simple man, working with my hands. Oh, believe me. Freedom is the only thing means a damn to me. Oh, you can't fake it.
This is KCNR Shasta Redding. With SRN News, I am Michael Harrington in Washington. Israeli troops and armor continue slugging away at Palestinian terrorists in the Gaza Strip today. Terrorists who continue firing rockets into Israel. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says this is what happens when Israel gives in to Palestinian demands.
We did what the international community has always been telling us. Take out the settlements, go back to the 67 lines, hand over the key to the PA. We did, to the Palestinian Authority. They promptly were booted out by Hamas.
He was a guest on ABC TV's This Week program. Hamas has fired more than 1,000 rockets into Israel over the past 2 weeks. A pro-Russian separatist leader in eastern Ukraine says rebels have recovered the black boxes from downed Malaysian Airlines Flight 17. Alexander Borodai claims the devices will soon be handed over to the International Civil Aviation Organization. The rebels are accused of shooting the jetliner down last week and pressure